Amen. You say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's just go to him in prayer before we turn to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, this morning. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity to come, Lord, and to be here in your house, dear God, together in your presence. Lord, we give ourselves completely into your control, dear God, that you would be able to come, Father, and speak to us this morning. The words of life, God, I pray being a help and Father, a blessing to the people, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We want to continue with our subject of love projected. We may be on this for a little while longer. But I want to read from Ephesians chapter 5, start at verse 22. And it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be under their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Amen. You may be seated. Brother Branham said, God made man to love his children and to love his wife. And he made the wife to love the children and love her husband and be loyal. For them both to be loyal to each other and honorable. God made them that way. God, that was what God desired, and it's what God expects. If he didn't expect it, it wouldn't be in his word. Whatever God puts in his word is what he expects. And it's not optional. You know, a lot of times we look for things in you know, you're filling out a form and it'll say, list your middle name, optional. List your phone number, optional. This isn't optional. This is God's word. And he said for the wives to submit themselves unto their husband as unto the Lord. So how a wife is toward her husband is how she is toward the Lord. And it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. So how you are toward your loving your wife, or how your affections and your honor is toward her, that shows where you are with God. Because if you're where you should be with God, then it'll be right in the home too. If it's not right in the home, then I can tell you it's not right in the church. If love is not being projected in the home, I guarantee you it's not being projected at church to God either. God expects us to project love to him. He expects us to show him love. He shows us love. What would you think if you, man, you was always showing your wife love and affection and that, and never got anything back? Or the wife, the other, always showing love and affection toward the husband, but never got anything back. Why, that's what do you think God feels when he shows us love and we just sit there and don't give him nothing back? He expects us to give him some back. He expects us to show him, you know, show him we're alive. Every once in a while, I think God wants to poke us just to make sure we're still alive, we're still breathing, you know. And So he made us to be that way toward one another. In Titus chapter 2, it says the aged women, they're to that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. You know, I've been around before where people would get around one another, and this woman and this one, and one would go to running down the other one's husband. And, you know, I remember a time when there was a man I hadn't met, and everybody I got around that was related to him was always running him down. And I thought, man, what a horrible individual this must be. And then one day I met him, and I thought, what horrible individuals these ones that's running him down are, because he don't fit a thing they're saying about him. Nicest man you'd ever want to meet. Why, most upstanding gentleman. And I thought, my goodness, what in the world is wrong with them? You know, but, you know, I've been around where mother-in-laws, you know, for some reason or other, don't like the son-in-law. So every time the wife comes around, her daughter, why, she'll run him down. That's terrible. You should be teaching her to love her husband. Teaching her to respect her husband. You know, when you teach respect, you can't teach respect to be only one way. You either teach them respect or you're not. You can't teach your kids, now you respect me, but now them pigs out there with them cop cars, you don't respect them law. You can't teach them that. You've got to teach them to respect authority all the way across the board. That's what's going wrong with the world today, is there's a lack of respect. And it's like Brother Branham said, it's not juvenile delinquency, it's parent delinquency. They're not teaching their kids like they ought to. It ain't no more yes sir and yes ma'am. They don't got no more respect. They don't respect their elders. They don't respect authority. And you know what it is? It's because they're being raised by a bunch of people that don't have any respect themselves. And they're being taught in school and in college by a bunch of professors that don't have any respect for anything. I'll tell you this. If you're in college, you may not know exactly whether you have a conservative professor or not. But if you've got a liberal one, you'll sure know it. Because they're always pushing their agenda. They think for some reason they got to push their liberal agenda on your kids. And their agenda is one of disrespect. Not to respect authority. Always question authority. And you know, here's the thing, friends. If they start questioning authority, where would it stop at? Do you think they would stop and not question God too? Oh, they sure do. You can see it in the world today as they question God on homosexuality and all this other stuff. They question God on it. But God didn't change his mind. God didn't get PC. God still calls black, black, and white, white. Right, right, and wrong, wrong. There isn't no gray areas. Brother Ram said, what the world is looking for something today. When your wife told you she'd be your sweetheart and wife, she was looking for somebody to love her. And you promised your husband, and he was looking for somebody when he come in tired and weary some little wife to put her arms around him and kind of brush his hair back and tell him how much she loved him. That's what causes separation in families, is the neglect of love. Now, not just separation between husband and wives, but he said families. We're talking not just husband and wife, but we're talking children. We're talking brothers and sisters. Families. What causes it in families is a neglect of love. There should be a love within your family, a love for one another. And if there's a love for one another, you're not running each other down behind each other's backs. Come on, somebody. I'll tell you what. One of my kids went to running another one of my kids down to me, I'd stop and hold on just a minute. Don't be running one another down. You need to have love. You need to pray for one another. If you think the other one's got a fault, love them and pray for them. Amen. That's what causes the separation in churches, is the neglect of love. That's why this family pulls off a little bit from this one, or that one pulls off a little bit from that one. It's neglect of love. You know what the neglect of love does? It caused you to be critical. Become critical. And I'll tell you this, friends, if you take on a critical spirit, it won't just stop with one thing in the church. It'll become critical. You'll become critical of everything. You won't be able to sit in your seat without criticizing everything that's going on. You'll criticize the music. You'll criticize the singing. You'll criticize the preaching. You'll criticize the temperature. You'll criticize the pews. You'll criticize the carpet. You'll criticize everything. How it's conducted. You'll criticize the trustees. You'll criticize the deacons. You'll criticize the person sitting in front of you. Critical spirit is a terrible thing. And I'll tell you what, when somebody takes that on and sits in church, it becomes very noticeable. Now, key to this text we read was love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Love them like Christ loved the church. Brother Branham said in Hebrew series, he said, when you walk down the street yonder, she may get old and gray and wrinkled, but that same love you had for her when she was young and beautiful woman, you'll still have it. You may get stoop-shouldered, bald-headed, wrinkle-faced, and everything else, but she'll love you just like she did when you stood wide-shouldered and curly hair, if it's really God. If it's not really God,
yeah,
it'll
show up.
Yeah, it'd be like the world trading them in for younger models. For you're looking to the time when you've crossed the river yonder, when you'll spring back again to young men and women and live together forever. He said, that's God's eternal promise.
Amen.
We're going to be young again.
Amen.
Amen. Together. Hallelujah. Every once in a while, I got to take a look at an old picture of me just so I make sure during the change I recognize myself. that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. We're not going to be old there. We're going back to being young again. We're going back to perfection. We're not in perfection now. I'll tell you what, I was busy doing a lot of different things yesterday, and after I got finished later on, I went and took a shower, and then I sat down for a few minutes. And when I went to get back up, man, I tell you, stiffness had set in. I was all right as long as I kept moving, but after I sat down there for the first time and sat there for a little bit, stiffness set in. It didn't used to be that way. Now you roll up out of bed. You know, when you was young, you'd roll out of bed and you're raring to go. You roll out of bed today and you're like, what in the world are you hurting for? You've been laying there all night. Getting old. It's these run-down bodies. That's not the way God wanted them to be. This come about because of Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. Condemnation by representation, Brother Branham said. We got in this curse because of what man did in the garden. But that's not the way it was at the beginning. And we're going back to the way it was at the beginning, when man was created to live forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, you'll never be an angel. You'll never get old, and you'll never be wrinkled. And you'll never be sick, and you'll never have a worry. Oh, hallelujah. But you'll never be an angel. You're going to be a human being, only immortal. You'll have a glorified body like his body. You'll both eat and drink and live and love and associate forever and ever. Not spooks flying around in the air, never. The Bible don't teach that. God made angels, yes, but he never made you an angel. He made you to be human. Then Jesus came down and was made flesh and become a man to dwell here with his people on earth. And someday he's coming back in that corporal glorified body. Don't tell me you saw all the coming of the Lord you're ever going to see. Brother Branham said he's coming back in that corporal glorified body. We're going to see him again. Hallelujah. Not just seeing him in his revealed word, but seeing him literally. 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Time-tested memorials of God, Brother Bram said, I was talking to men about losing their affections for their wives, and they don't love them like they did when they were sweethearts. He said, shame on you. You ought to do it. She's always your sweetheart. Absolutely. That's the part she should be. And you should treat her like that. And never let that little honeymoon cease. Because it ain't going to in heaven. You know, in the natural, we're always talking, you know, and you hear people say, you know, once this couple's got married, say, well, you wait till the honeymoon's over. Brother Madam said it should never be over. And you know what the ingredient you got to have so that it stays that way? You've got to have God in the marriage. If you just got together because you felt a physical attraction, you got together for the wrong thing. Lust will never hold you. But if you really have the love of God in your heart, Brother Branham says, and then your love binds with each other, and whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Shame on you. You ought to. She should always be your sweetheart. The honeymoon should never cease because it isn't going to in heaven. It's going to be just perfect when there. Looks like the women ought to have said amen, don't it? You always see me bawling the women out. Sister Hickerson, why didn't you say something? Sister Cox, Brother Cox, that's for you. Everywhere you are now. And we never forget to honor each other. Always be sweethearts. Never let it cease. Brother Branham was talking about this young man he knew. Said the young man was actually Catholic. But him and Brother Branham knew each other. And he come and called on Brother Branham. And he said, Brother Branham, I'm sorry to call on you. I know I'm Catholic and you're a Protestant. He said, but the priest kicked me out of my home. And said, I don't know what to do. Me and my wife are separated now. And we're getting ready to go to court to get a divorce. And he said, what's wrong? He said, well, you know, I work hard. And when I come home, he said, my wife thinks I ought to take her in my arms and hug her up and kiss her like as if we was getting ready to get married. And he said, you know, we got kids now. It ain't the time for that. Brother Branham said, you are wrong. You are wrong. He said, now's the time for you to show her you love her. He said, you're doing wrong. He said, well, I don't know what to do. We're going down to the divorce court. He said, you call her up and tell her you changed your mind. He said, and look, he said, when you go down there to the court, I'm going to go under the court. And I'm going to be standing under the floor where you're at, and I'm going to be praying while the court goes on. And Brother Branham then called up that judge. He knew the judge was going to be there. He called him up, and he told that judge, you give that boy a real good scolding. And so Brother Branham said, while the judge was scolding him up there in the courtroom, he was down under it praying. And said a little while later, he heard some heels clicking coming down the stairs. And he looked around and here come this young man and young woman, and they was arm in arm. And he looked at Brother Branham and he said, well, Brother Branham, I haven't saw you in a while. And Brother Branham said, yeah, just about 30 minutes ago. He said, I ain't saw you in a while. It's good to see you again. He said, yeah. He said, thank you. And he said, y'all look like you're just sweethearts. He goes, oh, everything's fine now, ain't it, honey? She said, yes, it is. And he said, there they went out, arm in arm. Come see us sometime, Brother Branham. That's what she said. And Brother Branham said, you can have all your signs and vindications you want. Just give me love. Amen. It'll conquer every time. Hallelujah. And Brother Branham's life story, he said, now, a good woman is a jewel in a man's crown, and she should be honored. There's thousands of Christian sisters who I highly respect if they can respect what God made them, a mother and a real queen. She's one of the best things God could give a man was a wife besides salvation. A wife's the best thing if she's a good wife. But Solomon said, a good woman is a jewel in a man's crown, but an ornery one and no good one is water in his blood. And that's the worst thing could happen. But if you've got a good wife, brother, you ought to respect her with the highest respect. Amen. You should do that, a real woman, and you children. If you got a real mother, takes care of you, keeps clothes clean, sends you to school, teaches you about Jesus, you ought to honor that sweet mother with all that's in you. You should respect that woman, yes, sir, because she's a real mother. A good woman is a jewel in a man's crown, said the wisest man on earth. A man ought to honor a good woman. But an evil one is water in his blood, and his blood is his life. So it's water in his life. You men that got good wives, you don't know how you ought to thank God for a good wife. For if God could have given man anything, a better helpmate, he would have done it. But a woman is the best helpmate God could give a man. Hallelujah. Now, it says giving honor to her as a weaker vessel. The reason it says that, Brother Branham says, because she's the one that Satan came to in the garden. Said he didn't go to the man and try to give him passions. He went to the woman. And the woman, being weaker, fell for it. Once he started quoting her the word and just turned it, twisted a little bit. And that's why it said, the Bible says the wife should be subject to her husband. Said if she wants to learn anything, let her ask her husband at home. Brother Branham tells a story, I'm sure you've heard it before, about Paul Rader. Said Paul Rader said that when he would leave the house in the morning, he would kiss his wife and tell her goodbye, and he'd walk out the walk down to the gate, and when he got down to the gate, he would turn back around, wave at her and tell her goodbye, and she'd wave at him, tell him goodbye. They'd say they loved one another. Said one morning, they had actually gotten a little spat. And they were kind of going at each other. And then it come time for him to leave. And so he got ready to leave and he said, well, goodbye. And he gave her a kiss and he walked on out. And said he walked on out by the gate, turned, started down the street, and said he got to thinking, what if something would happen to her while I'm gone? Or what if something would happen to me? She's the dearest thing that I've got on this earth. And he said, and God got to really dealing with him about it. So he turned around, walked back in, said, Faye, where are you at? Said she was standing behind the door crying. And he said he reached over and he lifted her chin up, gave her a kiss on the lips, and said, I love you. Goodbye. And said he walked out, got to the gate, turned around and said goodbye. She said, I love you, and said goodbye. And said she said goodbye just like she did the first time, except this time it had feeling in it. Brother Ramson, I think that's the way religion ought to be. It ought to have some feeling in it. You've passed from death into life, then you ought to act like you got some life. I'll tell you what, I've preached before where I thought I was trying to raise the dead. We need to come alive. Amen. So we got some life in us. If we love God, if it's His word being preached, I was talking to Brother Todd a couple of Sundays ago, and then I mentioned to my son here this morning. But in the military now, you know, even if you've never been in the military, y'all know that basic training or boot camp, whatever you want to call it, is supposed to be tough. It's supposed to be rough. They're supposed to weed out those that can't take it. And when I was in, they're supposed to stress you out mentally to see if you can handle it. Because they got to know that you're going to be able to handle that stress when things is really counting on you. Well, they've changed that now in the military because of how things are changing, you know, in this United States. And, you know, they've got a bunch of guys in there now that grew up where everybody got a trophy for participation. And so now they've got these fellas and girls and that in there, and now they give them cards. And if the drill sergeant starts stressing them out too bad, they can hold up that stress card and he has to back down. And we thought, what if you was to get into battle? And bullets was flying and you got stressed. Hold on, I'm stressed. Y'all quit firing at that individual, he's stressed out. It don't work that way, does it? Well, I've wondered sometimes of us sitting in church when God gets to really getting on of us, if we kind of would like to hold up a stress card. Lord, you're starting to stress me out. It don't work that way. Hallelujah. We ought to be able to be alive. Amen. Got something. We should be able to show we're sons and daughters of God that we've actually got a hold of something that's got some feeling in it. You know, we hear preach so much against emotions to where people think you shouldn't have any emotions. There's nothing wrong with having emotions. You can't go by emotions. There are people that get emotional and think, well, that was God. No, you can't go by. But I'm going to tell you this, friends. If you don't have any emotions, the prophet said, you're dead. That's the only thing that don't got emotions is something that's dead. And if it's dead, you know what they say you need to do with it? Bury it. So if the church is dead, it needs to be buried and move on. We need to have some life in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. When that's something that we know, we ought to be able to say amen to it. And if it's getting on us, then we ought to be able to say ouch or something. You know, show we got some life. Amen. Get into the service. I was teasing Nate one day. He had a song that he was trying to teach the church, and I know it's kind of hard sometimes learning a new song, and I know we don't got the best equipment, you know, for showing these songs. We want to get a projector and be able to have it on the computer and be able to project the words up and do it where you can do it like verse at a time so the letters can be big enough for everybody to see. So I apologize for that. But I was teasing Nate one day and I said, boy, that was a good special you sung. He said, it wasn't supposed to be a special. We ought to get in there and sing. Amen. Sing and worship the Lord. That's who we're singing to. You're not singing to me. You're not singing to your neighbor. You're singing and worshiping the Lord. Amen. You're not worshiping the song leader. If you're worshiping the song leader, something's wrong. So, you know, no matter who's leading the songs, you ought to be able to worship. Brother Branham found this in the wedding ceremony that Brother Branham conducted. He said, duly believing, talking to these couples that were getting married, duly believing you have considered this solemn obligation that you are about to assume, and that you have prepared to enter into the same and reverently, discreetly, and soberly in the fear of God. I'm going to tell you something. Marriage is not a light thing to be entered into. It's a good thing to desire. It's not a bad thing to want to be married. But I'll tell you this. You know, I said, you know, they're always talking about being married to the right woman. But Brother Branham said, it's got to be the right man, too. Like I told you, he talked about that heifer calf. female calf that had that wild stare in her eye. And he said, that cattleman told him, said, you don't want to buy that one. Said, she'll never be a good mammy to her calves. She's always going to be wild like that. And Brother Branham said, that's the way it is with women too. And that cattleman went on to tell him, said, now if you take this good one and put her with the right bull, then she'll have good calves. So it had to be with the right male too. So it's important who you're marrying. And I'll tell you this, friends, genetics will always be ahead of whatever you can teach. In other words, nature will always overcome nurture. You understand that? It don't matter what you show them. It don't matter what you give them. If the nature that's in them is some wild man nature, that's what's going to come out. My dad told me some years ago, he was having trouble with different ones of the children we'd adopted. He said, Jerry, you're never going to make them brownies. That's the truth. They're going to be what they're going to be, whatever nature's in them. And it'll come out and it'll show what it is. Just like Jesus said, you're of your father the devil and he was a murderer. Said, you're of your father the devil and he's the father of lies. If daddy wasn't no count, then friends, outside of the new birth, they won't be no count neither. It'll take the new birth. The new birth's what changes things. You ever wonder why you see people having little bitty babies out in the world and little bitty babies and children dying? Brother Branham said, it's because God knew what that child was going to be facing as it grew older. And so he took it off the scene. He said, you could have two of the most evil, wickedest people in the city, and a child of God can be born out of them. But that human nature that's in them, it's going to take the new birth to overcome that human nature. Do you realize that what children, their personality is pretty much set by the age of 3? You don't realize that sometimes. Think, well, a 3-year-old, they can barely talk. It says their personality set by the age of 3. So you take a little child, you take it in at the age of 3 years old or older, and friends, you already got problems. I know all this. And it will come out. You can make one of the worst mistakes of your life. But when you enter into marriage, he said, you got to know what you're doing. You got to believe to consider this a solemn obligation. You're taking this for life. It ain't for better or better. It's for better or worse. When it gets bad, I'm skipping out. No, that ain't the way it is. I'll tell you what. My wife and I, last weekend, we just celebrated our 39th anniversary. And I'll tell you what, there's been some years when it was lean. There's been some years where lean would have been good. There's been some hard times, but we've stuck together and stayed through it and come out on the other side. And you know what? When you can look and say we're better now to each other than we was when we was at the altar, then that's good. Where you growed. You know, I've often said when I got to the altar, I thought I was in love. But I look back now and think, man, young man, you didn't even know what love was. But after you've come over the miles, you begin to realize what love really is. Because I'll tell you what, youth don't stay. The things you have of youth don't stay. So you better be falling in love for some other reason. Brother Branham said, he asked this one young lady, said she was coming to church, but said she kept running with this boy from out in town. And Brother Branham said, now, he don't care nothing about the Lord. I don't know what you see in him. And she said, he smells good. And he's got pretty feet. Can you imagine? Said, he smells good. Brother Branham says, I don't care if he smells like a polecat and got feet like a boxcar. If he's got the Holy Ghost, is the thing. That should be what you should be finding out. Are they born again? Do they got the Holy Ghost? I'll tell you what, friends, you could get with the right person, but if they ain't been born again yet, you got with them at the wrong time. Brother Branham says, I shall propose to you this marriage covenant, and you'll witness the same as you join right hands together. And he said, will you have this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, to live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love and honor and cherish and support in sickness or in health? You know, usually when you get married young, you're both healthy, usually. But health don't last. You want somebody that's going to stick with you when, as you get older and perhaps you got to face some health problems. Riches or poverty? I feel like I know what they're talking about when they said in poverty. Now I'm all right. But I've been pretty poor before. I'm not rich now, but I can't really say I'm poor. Of course, if this administration keeps going on, we might all be in the poorhouse. The way this economy's going. Riches or poverty? And will you forsake all others as long as you both shall live? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You get married when you're young, don't you? You know, you think, well, I only got eyes for them. Don't you think Satan ain't going to try to march some slicker or some prissy past you? Because he will. Satan don't care who you think you are. Well, I'm a child of God. He don't care. Because he really don't know whether you are or not. You know, because according to the Bible, Satan don't know who his children are, like God knows who his is. And Satan, he doesn't know that he can't defeat God's children. For some reason, he still thinks he can. I guess it's because he's dealing with this in our flesh and we're constantly slipping up and making mistakes. And Satan is right there to point out every mistake to you. I like that when that sister told Brother Branham, said, but I make so many mistakes. Brother Branham said, God's not looking at your mistakes. He's looking at the desire of your heart. If the desire of your heart's right, you'll make the mistakes right. Hallelujah. Forsaking all others as long as you both shall live. And will you have this man to be your lawful wedded husband, to live together in a holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish and support in sickness or in health, riches or poverty, to cleave thee only to him as long as you both shall live? This is a solemn obligation they're entering into. And you that have been married for years, you entered into that solemn obligation years ago. And according to what the prophet said, you should still be as sweet on each other as you were when you first got married. If you're not, then you need to do some spiritual checkup. You know, a lot of times they think, well, the problem is all natural. Maybe you need to go see a marriage counselor. I'm not against counseling. But I'm saying this. If you're a Christian and you got some problems in the home, there's a spiritual thing that is the root behind it. Something is off spiritually. If you can get that corrected, it'll set the other right. But now, if you married the wrong one, ain't nothing ever going to set it right. And I'll tell you what, just because they go to church don't mean they're the right one. Because there's a lot of devils that go to church. There's a lot of young people that go to church, and the reason they go to church is because mom and daddy says they got to go to church. And it ain't because there's a desire in their heart. There's another motivation. And there'll be some that'll go to church just because they've been anointed to see who they can take out and whose life they can tear up. I remember a young lady in the church, and she was seeing this young man. My dad talked to her. He knew her from the time she was real young. He talked to her and he said, that boy don't care nothing about serving God. He said, he's an earth man. That's the term my daddy would use. He's an earth man. He don't care nothing about serving God. Keeps his head down while the singing's going on. Has his head down the whole time the preaching's going on. Can't wait to get out of there. He's only there for one thing, to take you out. And when they don't listen to that pastoral counsel that's been given, they're going to pay for it the rest of their life. Sometimes you think, mom and dad, why they just don't understand me. Don't forget, they were young one time too. They made their mistakes. They're living with some of their mistakes. Once you, there are some mistakes you make when you're young that you can't get rid of. There's some seed you sow that you are going to reap. So mom and dad knows what they're talking about. Sometimes they're reaping seeds they sowed wrong when they was young. So listen to them. They know what they're talking about. They're trying to keep you from going down that same path. Trying to keep you from getting mixed up with something. Need to listen to your pastor. He cares about you. It's God. That's God speaking to you, giving you direction. I'll tell you what, friends. I've been here now 23 years. I got some experience under my belt. I've performed a lot of marriages, a lot of weddings rather, and I've watched a lot of marriages. And I've watched some go good, and I've watched some go sour. And I've watched some where the spouse, one or the other, took the other one out of church. I've learned a thing or two. And I've witnessed some people who's learned a thing or two, but they can't undo what they've done. In this world, you can get married and divorced and married again as many times as you want. But not according to God's word. It's till death do you part. And things, like I've been telling you this whole message, they don't stay the same. It changes. Age changes. Health changes. Looks change. You might look at some old man and some old woman and think, my goodness, what did he ever see in her? But she could have been one of the most beautiful things you ever laid eyes on when she was young. But I'm going to tell you something. They say that time heals. But I'm going to tell you this. Time is a terrible beautician. Wrinkles come in. And I'll tell you what. That young man that's walking straight, shoulders squared, looks like he could carry the world on him. One day he might be stooped over on a cane, barely able to get around. One day he might be shuffling his feet as he walks. Because we ain't promised nothing in this life but heartache. That's right. This is a life of heartache. We lose friends. We lose loved ones. It's death. Death is what's promised in this life because of sin in the garden. I've seen people that witnessed. Especially when I was in college, I can remember. Couple being married, one of them gets real bad health, gets sick. Some kind of terminal something or something that makes them where, you know, they can't be like they used to be. And the healthy one decides, that's it, time's up, I'm out of here. I'm going to go find me somebody healthy. Won't stick together. But I'll tell you what, if there's a real love, I'm talking genuine love, and God was involved in the marriage, you'll stick with each other through everything. When he gets sick or she gets sick, you'll be their comfort. You won't love them less. He never promises a flowery bed of ease, Brother Branham said, quoting that poem. We've got stormy seas to go through. There'll be some hard times. There'll be some testing times. Many of you that's been married for years, you've had your test times. I've often said, you know, you have, like Brother Branham talked about Paul Rader and his wife having a spat. You'll have your little spats, your disagreements, and so on. But don't ever go to bed angry. Don't ever go to bed leaving that like that. Don't get, you know, stubbornness sometimes sets in. Neither one wants to admit they was wrong. Neither one wants to bend. That means something's going to break. And it can't always be the same one doing all the bending. That's right. It can't be the same one always saying, okay, all right, I'll take the blame. It's my fault. You got to learn how to say, I'm sorry. You got to learn how to say, forgive me. And you got to learn how to say, I forgive you. And the I forgive you, you can do it whether they ask you to or not. But if you're married, I would advise you not to say I forgive you until they ask you to forgive them. Because if you say I forgive you, well, that's going to make it worse. Especially if they ain't reached a point where they think they're in the wrong. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Well, we've got more to go on this subject. What all the Lord will lead us to touch on. Love is a subject I believe we could go on and on and on. It has so many facets to it. It has so many different avenues, so many different things it covers. Because the Apostle Paul said, you could have everything. Speak with tongues of men and angels. But have not charity, and you have nothing. So love is the most important thing. If you love the Lord right, you'll serve him right. If you love one another right, you'll treat one another right. If you're not treating one another right, something's wrong in the love department somewhere. Allow the enemy to slip in there. Now, I know we've all got human spirits. And we've in those human spirits, we've got the five gates. And one of those gates is affection. And Satan can work in that gate of affection and get things all tore up. And that's why we need the Word of God to come and clear out that gate so the soul can shine. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your wonderful words. Lord, we ask God that you'll go with each one, Lord. Lord, you know their homes. You know the conditions. You know the things they're facing. Lord, I pray, God, that not just that this would be instruction, Lord, but Lord, that we'd be able to enter in prayer if things are not the way they should be, and we should be able to enter into prayer and belief that, Lord, you'll come on the scene and make things right. Lord, as long as we have a desire in our heart to be right, you, Father, will come, Father, and give us the help that we need. I pray, dear God, that you would go with your people today and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.